Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Here's Sammy the Shovel here to tell you to call before you dig.
A lot of homeowners are working hard to create a loving home. Whether it's expanding that crowded deck, maybe a swimming pool, good times start with these additions. And that's why we respectfully ask you to first call 811 and have your utilities properly marked before you dig. It saves you from injury and expense. It's the law, and it's just the right thing to do. So call 811 before you dig. Remember us for your next project. Just call 811.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Glad you're with us this afternoon. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio, as we all do. Full crew here, Kelly, Dima, and Bob Getty. Glad you're with us on a Friday afternoon. Got a good show for you today. Tim Hallman was a great offensive lineman, blocked for the great Brett Favre. He's going to be on the show later in the hour. Also, we're going to do our Sun Belt preview today, sponsored by Hancock Whitney Bank. And today we're going to focus on Georgia State University. I have a lot of fun poking fun at Georgia State, but they are in a big city, and we want to hear what they've got in store for the league. But before we do all of that, I think tomorrow is a really important day in the new regime of Southern Miss football. That's going to be the first full contact scrimmage. And Dima, I think you agree with me. We're going to learn a lot about the team tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm really excited tomorrow to get out there and kind of see how much this has developed. You know, because what we see in practice, we saw some today. They're kind of a lighter day today. But, you know, what we see in practice is kind of just hard to gauge exactly where you're at. For example, what we saw in the spring game was actually, you know, or the spring scrimmages was actually 11-on-11 football. You're hitting people, you're bringing them to the ground, you're running plays, you know, things like that. So I have that in my mind, and I want to see how much this team has developed since then. And certainly there's some new players and some certain aspects like that. But tomorrow's going to tell us a lot, and I'm sure when we talk to Blake Anderson, and I think we're actually able to talk to some players tomorrow, when we talk to them and hear what they thought after the scrimmage, I think we're going to hear some answers at certain positions on who's going to be starting and who's not. That's to me is the biggest thing we're going to get out of it.
It's interesting you said that, because Lee Roberts mentioned that yesterday on this program. He said, I think that it will start, that the picture will begin slowly but surely start to take focus. Maybe not the quarterback announcement of who the starter will be, but and maybe not official announcement, but clearly in the staff's mind, they will start to be able to focus in on player X is going to be starting in position Y, and so
right.
on.
I know one thing is they're not going to try to trick us, right? Like sometimes it was funny. I remember several years ago, we kind of all knew who the starting quarterback was. I don't remember if this was like the second year of Will Hall's tenure or whatever, but it was a quarterback battle. And then they ran out the third string quarterback. Like we all knew who's the third string, and he ran with the ones like the first few scrimmage plays. And we were like, we know what they're trying to do. But I know Blake Anderson isn't going to do that. Like they are so new and don't know at so many positions that the first team out there is more than likely their first team guys. Does that make sense? So when that first team runs out on offense and defense, I know all of us in the press box are going to be writing down frantically every single number at every single position, and then trying to get the second team. Once they get out there, second team, you know, and then you'll see on Saturday projected depth chart, you know, coming out from all of us reporters, and then, you know, it'll be frantically wrong. But, you know, that's something that I'm excited to see, is where this depth chart stands. And, you know, I think we've had some movement from the spring.
Well, but you guys are not going to sit in the air-conditioned press box, are you? A real reporter would be down on that artificial turf, right?
What did Fauci say? Oh, I plead the fifth under counsel discretion or counsel direction.
My butt would be up in that air-conditioned press box right there with you.
Yeah, dude. The first thing I'd want to know is where's the nearest oxygen tent and the nearest cold water.
Yeah. Now, is this full contact pads?
Yep,
we're
going to
get after each other.
Everybody's live other than the quarterbacks. Blake Anderson said he wants it to emulate a real game. Now, I don't think they're doing any red zone stuff, which honestly, I don't think I've seen him do any red zone stuff in fall camp so far, so that's something interesting. But I think it's going to be all between the 20s, some situational work, but mainly, you know, first and 10 starting at the 25 and then going to the other 20, then you know, everybody goes off and you get a whole new group in there.
And I would not think that you're going to be seeing any Statue of Liberties or end arounds or anything like that.
That'd be pretty vanilla, I would think.
I would think so, too.
How long do these scrimmages usually last?
I mean, it depends. I mean, you're really trying to get about 80 plays for your ones and then probably 45 to 50-ish plays for your twos. And then if you can get, you know, 30-ish plays for your threes, you know, that's generally the ideal number. So, I mean, they can last anywhere from an hour and a half to 3 hours, you know. I know it's scheduled for 2 hours, but sometimes that goes over.
And if fans are not going to be there tomorrow, especially if you have young kids that will really enjoy Fan Fest, which is going to be the following Saturday, which will be the 22nd, a week from tomorrow. And that's when, after the scrimmage, the players will be available to sign autographs and take pictures and things like that. And you can follow the Southern Miss social media platforms to get more details as to where to park and what gates to enter. But that's Fan Fest a week from tomorrow at The Rock.
Is there any position right now that you think they absolutely know in their minds who's going to start?
No.
You don't think there's one?
I mean, I would say if there was one, it'd be quarterback, just because I've seen the guy go out there with the ones every single time. Other than that, you know, you have a handful of players at each position, but I don't think they know any of their starters.
How much of that do you think changes with the scrimmage?
I think a lot. I mean, I really do. I mean, here's the deal. They can say they don't know all they want, but we're all watching practice. We know who the ones are going out there. The first team up on both sides of the ball in this scrimmage, to me, says a lot of where they think their depth chart stands now. They're not going to send, you know, their third worst offensive lineman to start with the ones. They know who their best five is, and they're going to put them out there. You know, I am interested to see if the three new players that they added this week.
Yeah, you think they'll be involved?
I don't know if they'll be involved in the scrimmage, but they will be there, I think.
And I understand wanting to protect your roster to a certain degree, particularly when you're playing conference games. But you're opening against Alcorn, which is a non-conference opponent. You got, you know, three or four non-conference opponents before you get into league play. So I don't know that, like Dima was saying, how Blake Anderson really tells all. I don't think there'd be any reason to hide anything, particularly when the first four games are non-conference.
I don't think they're going to be hiding anything. The only reason I think they're really not naming the starting quarterback is for the mental, you know, state of the other two. And making sure that they're still competing at the top of their level, even though they know they're not the starter. But I personally think after Saturday they should name it. And maybe it's on Monday, because you need your starting quarterback to get a full week, the rest of fall camp, as the leader of the team.
And they need to coalesce around him.
Correct. And then that way you could just go ahead and name it. You know, here he is. Here's your starter. That way you know who your starter is before the next spring scrimmage or fall scrimmage. And then since the season starts late this year, generally the next week would be game week, but they actually get a whole new other week. So they get that 1 week in between fall camp ending, which is next Saturday, and then the game week, which would be the next week. So you actually get a whole other week, which is why I think it would be beneficial to go and name them on Sunday, or on this Monday, next Monday coming up. I don't even know what day we're on.
Yes. So I think so, too. I think that makes perfect sense, because they kept talking about developing chemistry.
Yeah.
Well, give us a leader so we can follow that leader.
Yeah.
So I think, but again.
Later on the show, Tim Hallman's going to be on the show, as we mentioned, and he can talk about the importance of that. I mean, you know, when he was an offensive lineman, Brett Favre was the quarterback. You had a leader. You knew who the leader was. Yesterday we had Lee Roberts on the show. Same thing. You knew who the leader was. I think Dima's point's good. Maybe you need to announce that next week so everybody knows who to rally around.
Yeah, and I think it'd be a perfect time to announce it, because you gave it enough time. You gave it whatever practice we're on, 8 or 9 practices where you saw it play out. But, I mean, everybody out there knows who it's going to be. I mean, even Blake said it when we talked to him on Tuesday, and he was like, you know, we see some separation there, and then obviously you guys watch practice. That was his own words. And I'm telling you, I've been to every single practice, and I know who's going with the ones every single time. So it's not like it's a surprise to anybody, but I think it'd be beneficial for the team just to go ahead and herald him as the starter, and then, you know, let the other two battle for number two.
And I understand the argument about protecting the mentality of the
backup. I think that's been enough, is what I'm saying.
And if you know what, if at this level, if you don't have the mentality that can take being a number two or number three, you may not have the right guy anyway. I mean, you want somebody that's going to, even J.J. McCarthy, when the Vikings named Kyler Murray as a starter, McCarthy has no problem with it. You know, that's the difference, pros and again, when you look at Southern Miss's even recent history, they haven't gone through a season without getting to the second or third string quarterback. So you might not be starting right now, but get ready.
You just don't know.
That's right.
You just don't
tough
know.
Sport.
Yeah.
So big day, huh? Important
day. I'm excited to get out there. I really am. I mean, it's more of an excitement just so I can like start putting pen to paper on a depth chart and seeing exactly where this team is at. If there's two, if you were to ask me where two places I'd be watching the closest, one is defensive line and the second is secondary. If those two groups look a little bit better than they did in the spring, if not a lot better, hopefully. I'm starting to feel better about the team, if that makes sense.
And it's still so hard to see exactly how good Southern Miss is when you just don't know how good everybody else in the Sun Belt is.
Right.
Lots of times it's not how good you are, but how good is everybody else?
Yeah, that's right. All right, so scrimmage tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I'm not sure if the public's in. Can the public come? I don't know.
I don't think tomorrow, but I know for sure the next week.
I got you. Okay. Hey, first segment of the show every day is sponsored by our good friends right down the road, Movie Star Restaurant. Be a great place for, well, you can go tonight. They're open from 5 till 8 tonight. Great meals, Friday night meals. And, of course, Kelly's favorite, the buffet will be available
tonight. And you always say, Bob, you've never made a mistake by going to Movie Star. I can think of one time I did.
Yeah, what'd you do?
I ate way too much.
That would be every time you go.
Oh, okay.
I've been to Movie Star. I thought he was going to say his mistake was ordering from the menu because it stops.
He would never do that, let me assure you.
With all that food laying out there, you got to be kidding.
I can't really argue with you about that. All right, Tim Hallman, great the offensive lineman. I think they're the most important guys on the team. I bet he'll agree when he comes on the Eagle Hour next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Time for the Super Talk Eagle Hour 2026 Sun Belt Football Countdown, sponsored by Hancock Whitney Bank.
At Hancock Whitney, we know strong communities are built through teamwork, dedication, and tradition, the same values that define Southern Miss athletics. I'm Daniel Stewart, business banker at Hancock Whitney. We're proud to support Eagle Hour and the student athletes, alumni, and fans who make Golden Eagle Nation so special. Whether you're buying a home, growing your business, planning for retirement, or simply looking for a trusted financial partner, our team is here to help you every step of the way. Hancock Whitney, your dream, our mission. Proud to support Southern Miss. To the top.
All right, Dave, another season for the Georgia State Panthers coming up. And boy, we're kind of the lonely guys at the meetings because not much expected of Georgia State, not much expected for Southern Miss, but we're kind of used to being in these boats, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we've been 4-20 in the last 2 years, 3-9 in Coach McGee's first year, coming off what was an Idaho Potato Bowl berth 3 years ago. Seems like a long time ago now. And then 1-11 last year. And so why should there be a lot of high expectations? I'm talking about Georgia State. So there's nowhere to go but up. And maybe that's a good thing. As Cam Brown and Jabril Rhodes-Nelson and even Coach McGee have said here in New Orleans, what happened last year was last year. There's a lot of new faces, new coaches that are on this Georgia State locker room and in the program. So what happened last year truly happened last year. It can give you a little bit of an insight because there are some players that are returning, but it was last year. It's like I laugh sometimes. You go into a Kroger or a Publix and you pick up the college football preseason magazines you know, in late May and early June. And I know last year I picked up one, and like six or seven of the guys that they had listed in our two deep were not even in the program anymore. So that's the crazy world that we live in college football.
And really, when you think about it, aren't all Sun Belt teams kind of rowing that same boat?
Yeah, with the transfer portal now and everybody chasing NIL dollars. It's called NIL, but we're really not. It's really pay for play.
Sure.
It's not really true to the form NIL. But yeah, I mean, everybody's in the same boat. I have a lot of people, as you probably do, hey, how's Georgia State football going to be this year? And how they looking, even coming out of the spring game? And I'm like, I'll be honest with you, other than the players that are returning, I don't know. Because until you get to fall camp, and some of the dust begins to settle on who is going to play where, what your two deeps look like, which players came in out of the portal that are going to be impact players, I don't know that yet. You have an idea, but you still don't know. I think one of the big things for Georgia State this year, too, is the schedule. If you remember last year, we opened up at Ole Miss and gave up 63 points, came home to play a really good Memphis team, beat Murray State.
Coached now by Charles Huff, by the way, that Memphis team.
Exactly. Formerly of Southern Miss, formerly right. of Marshall. He's been keeping those bags back. And then we played week four. It was a return game to play Vanderbilt, because remember, we had beaten Vanderbilt 2 years ago in Atlanta. So, and we all would have signed off on that knowing that we got a win in the first game. But my point is they dropped 70 on us in week four. And as I said in my open of our preview radio show, that losing and playing Ole Miss and at Vanderbilt in the first 4 weeks of the season, that's when the wheels started to come off a little bit. In other words, I don't know that Georgia State football really ever recovered from those two games. They gave up 63 points at Ole Miss. They gave up 70 at Vanderbilt. So I just don't know that they ever really recovered from the first four games of the regular season. The quarterback position was never solidified. We went from T.J. Finley to Cameron Brown to T.J. Finley to Cameron Brown. I think we'll be better knowing who our quarterback is from a solid standpoint going into this season. This is L.A.T., life after Ted. Ted Hurst, one of the best receivers that we've ever had. One of the best receivers, you know, from a statistical standpoint in the Sun Belt, third round pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we begin LAT, life after Ted, because he was a go-to guy.
Now you guys have had a lot of construction going on too. We've talked in the past about, you know, the new baseball stadium. Can you kind of bring Southern Miss fans up to date as to how some of the facilities are coming along in the ATL?
Well, listen, I understand baseball is big in Hattiesburg and always has been, as it should be. It's kind of one of those storied programs in college baseball. I will tell you, it's not always been like that at Georgia State. Because of where we're located, right in the middle of downtown Atlanta, the proverbial question all these years was, and we take a lot of heat for Panthersville, where do you get land to build a baseball stadium in the middle of downtown Atlanta? Well, fortunately, in 2017, the Braves moved up 75 to Truist Park. The end result was that Georgia State got Turner Field, which is where we play football now, Center Park Stadium. We got the land where we built the GSU Convocation Center, 8,000-seat basketball arena, and we got the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium property where we are now currently building, and it's under construction as we speak, a new baseball stadium. It's going to seat 1,200 or 1,500. It's not going to be like some of the stadiums we see at a Coastal Carolina or a Southern Miss or a Louisiana. College baseball in the overall sports spectrum in the ATL is not what it is in Hattiesburg or in Statesboro or in Lafayette, Louisiana. We have the Atlanta Braves. We even have their AAA farm team just up Interstate 85. So college baseball is just a blip on the screen in Atlanta, but it'll be nice, selfishly, to no longer have to drive out to Panthersville and just drive over to campus. I'm on campus because I work there, but to be able to stay on campus and watch Georgia State baseball play.
Now, a baseball purist, Dave, would say, please say when they're building this new stadium that they're going to keep the home plate intact where Hank Aaron hit the historic home run and so on.
I believe that the footprint And you know, if you went out there all these last years, that they had bricked out the base paths. I'm almost positive that the stadium, the field, is in the same direction. So just imagine Fulton County Stadium. If you're at home plate looking to the outfield, just to the left is the skyline of downtown Atlanta, and then straight away right out to Capitol Ave. The Hank Aaron statue that sat in the plaza since 2017, that was the only statue the Braves were not allowed to take to Truist Park because that belonged to the Fulton County Stadium Authority, did not belong to the Atlanta Braves. Well, now Georgia State has it. We've moved, as I understand, or will be moving the Hank Aaron statue over to the plaza for the new baseball stadium. And then anybody that visited the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium site, remember there was a little chunk of the fence out there, a little monument to where the ball went over the fence,
yes.
7-15, caught by Tom House, hit off Al Downing. They've moved it, or they've taken it away, but they've not gotten rid of it. They moved it simply for construction purposes. Where it will go, now whether or not it goes back to the exact same spot, I don't know. But Georgia State still has it, and I'm almost positive it will figure into the new stadium somewhere once all the construction and the dust begins to settle.
Well, how would you not have Hank Aaron memorialized at that stadium? Sounds like they are.
You know, they will. They will, for sure. And I, the only reason I asked about the baseball aspect of the new construction at Georgia State is because we always have fun kind of kicking the Panther baseball team around because of the small baseball field, and they're really, quite frankly, my impression is that they're a little bit tired of the jokes, and because they are limited, as Dave just said, Dave Cohen, the radio voice of the Panthers there, he said, where do you get land in downtown Atlanta?
Well, they're doing what they can, but I know you agree that that's not a college baseball stadium. That had to be improved to stay in the league, I presume.
And he said college baseball is just a blip on the radar there when you got the Braves and even their AAA team just right up the road. So they're fighting for every scrap they can get on the baseball side.
Well, I can clearly understand how Georgia State would have trouble competing with the Atlanta Braves for attention in baseball season, you know?
A lot of major league teams have trouble competing with
the Atlanta. Right, and I've told you this. I grew up in Alexandria, Virginia, in the heyday of the Redskins, and I don't even remember anybody talking about college athletics. It was Redskins, Redskins, Redskins. And I'm sure that that's a problem that any university in a city with a major league franchise faces.
And I think the same can be said with Georgia State football. And even though we've kind of debated whether in a fictitious world you could just pull a team out of the league, you guys both think that Georgia State would be the one. I would fight for Georgia State just because of the big city, that it could help the conference as far as tournaments and housing and things like that, the hotels and motels, but even college football, it's difficult when you have the Falcons there and all the other things that are offered in that big city.
Hey, Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team, whether it be Georgia State or Southern Miss, is important, but you're the most important player. Be sure you get an annual physical every year. Make sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health will help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org.
By the way, Bob, what did Dave Cohen call the city of Atlanta on that interview?
We'll be right back.
He didn't call it the ATL, did he?
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Glad you're with us. I'm going to check here now and see, do I have our next guest on the phone? Tim Hallman, you there with me?
I am.
Okay, good, man. We're glad to have you. Had a little trouble connecting, but...
Oh, how are you doing? How good. Are you guys doing?
Man, I'm good. How are you, man? How are you doing?
Doing good. Just been busy this summer and property rentals and you know, with people going back to school and whatnot, so just been busy and a little warm.
Boy,
yeah,
Tim,
a little warm, yeah.
Tim, with the new mayor's rules up there in New York, I'll bet you're dying to move up there to be in rental property management, huh?
Absolutely. That's
what
I'm probably about to pack up and go to.
Yeah. All right. Tim Holman was a great offensive lineman for the Golden Eagles back in the Brett Favre era, I think it's fair to say. Tim, we were talking earlier about the scrimmage tomorrow, and hopefully after the weekend that the team will name a starting quarterback. And we were kind of laughing and said, when you were playing, there really wasn't a whole lot of doubt who was going to be the quarterback on the field. How important is that for players to know who their quarterback is going to be?
Well, when we were there, I got there, you know, it was the year after Reggie. And Brett, I was a senior when Brett came in.
Uh-huh.
So for about 4 years, we went through a lot of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Duckworth, Andrew Anderson. You can just go down the list. So we really didn't know. But it is. I know we still got a few weeks. I don't see what the rush is to name a starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you got to do at practice, and everything else will fall in place.
All right, now you just said something that I was not aware of. You played with Reggie Collier and Brett Favre?
I was a year after Reggie.
Okay.
So that would have been 84 through 87, and I would give somebody $10 if they could give me the names of the quarterbacks from 84 to Bill Brett.
Well, let's go to Mr. Trivia here, Kelly Santer.
Well, one that he did not mention, of course, he mentioned Andrew Anderson, but I don't think he mentioned Alrick Young.
No, I didn't. Yep. And then Duckworth, Alrick, Tommy Compton was a freshman by our sophomore back then.
Andrew Anderson wore number 8, I think. Andrew Anderson wore 8?
Correct.
Yeah.
You're correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me ask you about this perspective. Your senior year, when you had a Brett Favre playing, did that make it easier? Did that make it, for lack of a better term, did that give you more team confidence going into a game knowing you had a guy that could really produce in that position?
Yeah, and after the Tulane game, it was kind of set in stone that Brett was going to be the guy for the rest of the year. So, yes, it did make it a lot easier, and you just have a lot more reps during the week with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much for, you know, and it includes the linemen, but for him and the running backs and receivers all on the same page, it's just reps sure does help.
Yeah. Now, I got another question I want to ask you before the guys get in here. I did an interview earlier this week with a gentleman that played for Jim Carmody, and that's who you played for, right? Nasty.
Correct.
All right. Now, you verify this for me. This is how different things were back in the day. He said that if you guys didn't play well on a Saturday, it was not that unusual that come Sunday you put on pads and went to the practice field.
Even if you won.
Is that correct?
It did happen, and I know this player was probably 384. I know that they did.
What are you saying?
Coach Carmody, he was so tough. You know, now... You know, back then you were in shorts and shoulder pads on Mondays and Thursdays, full gear Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I don't know how much they do hitting. I mean, Carmody loved to hit. And, you know, a lot of people would just go in shorts on Thursday, then Friday you just go and goof off, nothing to it. But before we played Ole Miss the last time, we'd gotten beat maybe by Tulane, but we were out there practicing. We did a full scrimmage at 4 in the afternoon on a Friday. And we kicked off with Ole Miss at 1 the next day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're talking about everybody's legs were gone. And sometimes, you know, and we did hang on to win that game, barely. But, yeah, it's you don't ever know when the pads are coming on with Coach Carmody.
Tim, Jim Carmody was not a guy that would shake hands and kiss babies and, you know, do all that sort of thing. He was a football guy. He was all about winning. Would that style even survive today, even at the collegiate level, his style?
In this day and time, I doubt it. No.
Yeah, I agree.
This day and time, coaches, kids, their friends, their buddies, text, do this. You know, that just wouldn't have gone over under Coach Carmen for sure.
And, you know, when you look at offensive linemen that have made the transition into coaching and eventually head coaching in the NFL, Tim, there's no doubt when you look at the win-loss records, offensive linemen have been consistently the best head coaches win-loss in the NFL. What is it about the offensive line position that apparently equips them to be better head coaches?
Hell, it just Morris guys on the field.
I knew that was coming. Well, how did I not know that was coming?
could you elaborate?
Old. I know it's old, but yeah, you got the smartest guys on the field.
But what made them the smartest guys on the field?
that is a very good question. But you know, I don't understand why that happens. It is amazing.
Yeah.
I just think it takes the right guy, whatever position. If he's got that football coaching mentality, you have it. You either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
Kurt Cignetti, he's got it. You know,
yeah.
He knows what's going on. So I just think it depends on the just the individual person.
Now,
to be a coach.
Now, just.
Now, I do want to point out that I don't think we had any coaches from our group of offensive linemen. I can assure you there were no head coaches.
So you're saying those guys weren't the smartest guys on the field?
Well, I'm included in that group.
No, I understand.
We still were. We still were, but yeah, we didn't have many people go into coaching.
All right, now I have another question for you. Did Big Nasty, and you can be honest now, just the four of us. No one will know what you said other than the four of us.
Okay, absolutely, I'm sure.
Did Big Nasty really think kickers were football players?
Not really. Now, right after we'd stretch every day, he was the one that worked with the kickers. He was the kicking coach, so they would all go into the stadium and kick and all of that. But it was funny, he did bring several kickers back into when we were practicing goal line scrimmage. He'd put kickers in there as defensive linebacker just to watch them get the hell knocked out. you've got a, you know, 5'8", 160 pound guy lined up in the nose guard gap. Yeah, he would test them.
A recipe for disaster for that guy.
That probably got ugly.
Yeah,
didn't it,
driven through the back of the end zone. You know, that would forgive
him. Well, I also heard from this same guy yesterday. You guys were headed up to play. I think it was Ole Miss, and Big Nasty looked around, and one of the players was laughing and grinning. This was about McGee. He instructed him to stop the bus. And he made that player ride to the football stadium in Jackson with the highway patrolman that was escorting you guys. Were you there that day?
I think I've heard that story. That was right before me, and I've heard that story, and I believe it 100%. You didn't crack a – I mean, it was all business. It was a business trip.
Yeah.
No smiling, no laughing. Now, I had heard, and I don't know this, that back under a previous coaching a few years ago, that the bus was wild on the way to games. I'm like, oh God, that wouldn't go good. Hell, we'd all be walking to the game if that was the case, if we were cutting up like that.
So he wasn't worried about hurt feelings. Is that safe to say, Tim?
Oh no, that didn't even come into play. I didn't figure Coach Cormier, you know, after football, and I've seen him at his book signing, saw him at a few funerals, and just I had a whole new respect because he was very engaging.
You're right.
Yeah.
Totally different than he was as a football coach. He was great off the field.
You're 1,000%
right. We didn't really get around him much off the field back in the day.
Right. We had him on the show several times when his book came out, the latter years of his life, and it was like talking to a grandfather. I mean, he was just as
I'm telling you.
Yeah, he was just as sweet and calm. I'm sorry. Sweet and Big Nasty doesn't go together. He was just calm and polite. Yeah. Can you stick around a few more minutes? We'll talk about old times,
absolutely,
if you will. Tim Hallman, one of the great offensive linemen, absolutely, Southern Miss football, is with us. on the Eagle Hour. Hey, as we head to the break, MCS Home Center with the weekend right here. Be a great time to visit MCS. They've got everything you need for your next home, lawn, or garden project. They're located at 7329 Highway 98 West. Great local folks, eager to serve you. Eagle Tire West. MCS Home Center, glad to have them part of the Eagle Hour. As we are Genesis of Hattiesburg, Mobay Beignet Company, and all of our great sponsors. We'll be right back with our friend Tim Holt.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right. If you're going to be catering the upcoming football games, the only one place to go, man, that'd be Dickey's Barbecue. Nobody does catering better than Dickey's Barbecue. So make sure you check out Dickey's for all your catering needs this football season. And if you need some money to pay for it, gather up some old gold and silver from the house and take it down to Jewel Masters. Marty Vick will give you hot cash. Be confidential quick and take care of you at Jewel Masters. We continue our conversation with our friend Tim Holman. You know he's a friend because I just realized he overheard all the conversation taking place, mindless, I might add, in the studio during the break, and he stuck around. Did you learn anything from that, Tim?
Yeah, I think Kelly should have a new show on fashion tips, uniform fashion tips by Kelly.
Well, I was just about to ask Kelly. Yeah, I was just about to ask Kelly where he gets his nails painted, but the show came back on.
The new Tulane uniforms, Tim, you'll have to look them up, Tim Holman. These things are the most atrocious, hideous-looking things I've ever seen.
As he says this to you, Tim, let me point out he's sitting here in an old, worn-out black T-shirt with a hole in the elbow. Now, that's Kelly's idea of dressing up for the show today.
He's comfortable.
He is. That's how they dress in the ATL.
did you guys, and Tim hasn't seen it yet, and we obviously he's a guest, but real quick, Bob and Dima, you saw those Tulane uniforms. You like those?
I like them. What about you, Dima?
I like the helmet. Now, the number on the uniform could get a little work, but the helmet looks cool to me.
The helmet's pretty cool.
I really like, alternate unique helmets.
It's the Wave Man, Tim, but they put a Mardi Gras hat on him, and that's really upset Kelly.
No, they look like clowns. The Tulane is going to look like a bunch of clowns wearing those.
Well, what
helmets.
Do you look like in the mirror every day?
I don't.
Whatever they wear when we play them, especially if they're in a clown outfit, fit better.
We're going to make them look like clowns.
How do you see that one turning out, Tim?
Gosh, that's tough because I just don't know how good we're going to be. I think that they're established from somewhat, but I think we might surprise people. But of course, we won't know until the first game. Right.
Were you surprised when Will Hall got the head coaching job at Tulane? Yeah, I was too.
I like Will personally. He's a great guy. Wonderful guy.
Right.
I'm happy for him. So hopefully he'll do good in his future endeavors.
Tim,
couldn't agree more.
In your playing career, what sort of personal traits did you learn playing football that have helped you become the successful businessman that you've become?
Just fighting through adversity. You've been pushed to the limit and football, and it's and you do have a team in business, and it's all about team and fighting through adversity. That's probably the number one thing.
Yeah, I ask that of a lot of athletes, and it's because people who don't play sports lots of times just do not see the value of sports at all and don't realize it's much more than just sports.
It teaches you a lot of life lessons. There's no question about that.
The
kids today got to get out of the house and get involved with certain sports, or at least parents give them the opportunity to play.
And get out of the phone.
We wanted to play back then. I mean, we didn't have anything else to do.
Right. No, so, you're exactly right.
It's just a different time.
Tim, we always appreciate you coming on the show, man, and I'm really glad that you jumped on with us today. And if you're cool with it, we'll check back in with you during football season. So,
absolutely, and I look forward to the future of Fashion Tips with Kelly segment on your show. Yeah, that'd be great.
We may work on that.
Yeah, most of our listeners don't look forward to that, Tim. So,
Tim, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you, man.
Thank y'all. Appreciate you.
Tim Haltman, everybody. I always like talk to the big guys, man, the offensive linemen.
And I think if those two Lane web pages were not visited yesterday, they're probably being visited a little bit today.
I'm with you, Dima. I'm buying the helmets.
The helmets are nice. Now, I didn't, until Kelly showed me the numbers on the jersey, those kind of looked a little cartoonish. But there's
like six different colors. It's like a white number or whatever.
Yeah, you're colorblind. You can't handle all the colors because you normally come in the most ridiculous outfits ever. So you must be colorblind.
I don't know why you encourage him, Bob. You talk about how these,
I like the kids.
These younger people who have no respect for their elders, and he comes in and talks like that.
I know, I like the kids.
You know, I can't wait till he doesn't get any more sleep.
So where do you get your nails painted?
I don't get my nails painted.
Have you ever had a pedicure?
And a mani and a pedi.
I don't even want to know.
In the ATL, in fact.
I figured that. Or Cali, one of the two. All right, Dima, I got 20 seconds left. 1 to 10, how important is the scrimmage in the morning?
I kind of forgot that it was Friday. Yeah, it's going to be big. I would say 10. 10
think,
out of 10.
I think
important.
You're right. I think you're right. And you can get in the air-conditioned press box.
Yes. And Kelly is giving out free pedicures.
You're encouraging me to come if I can get in the air-conditioned press box.
Yes.
Will they have the carts that take you and I on a Kelly?
They will not have that. You will have to climb the stairs.
Kelly doesn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Kelly? When Dima and I go to the football games, there's a cart at the bottom, and they drive Dima and I up to the
cart. There is a sign on the side, though, that says if you've ever painted your fingernails, you
can't
ride it.
You're not allowed in the cart.
No, I'm very careful when I go to a game because I see signs that say no pass outs.
Yes. So and you have to tip the drivers. And on the tip, I'll explain that.
Yeah, you lost me at tip, yeah.
I hope everybody has a great weekend. Maybe after this show, maybe you'll tune back in. We hope so. Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.